Hello and welcome back to another week in Oklahoma Education. My little corner is just chucking along. Well, it was kind of a short week, an odd week. Tuesday, the juniors had state testing that was the history and science test that they were needing to take. And I had to stay up there, as we all did, to help with testing in one form or another. I ended up helping with the history test in the afternoon, and I was kind of a hall monitor backup in the morning, so I got to do that. But it made for an interesting week, because Monday felt like a Monday and a Friday, and then Wednesday felt like a Monday and a Wednesday, and then as Thursday and Friday went on, it was just kind of, I lost track of where everything was, and I was kind of surprised when it was Friday, and like it was actually Friday, so kind of threw me off a bit. We trucked on through the Cold War. I'm gonna finish it up next week. We talked, I had some examples with the Vietnam War and Korean War and things like that, and especially the Korean War and the Vietnam War as proxy wars, and this idea of, you know, the Soviet Union and the United States fighting each other, but not fighting each other through substitutes or proxies. And I had them do a free ride activity for the Korean War, and for some of them, it was just kind of like, it blew their minds, just the whole situation. It's like, why was Korea divided? Like, they were the victim of World War II, but they got divided, and that led to a war. And then just the leadership that was going on in North Korea then and now. But it was good to give them, because it's a world history class, a world history perspective, because I think more than anything, we always just hear our version of it. Like, our government did this, our government did that. The Cuban Missile Crisis saved us from the, you know, a potential World War III. But the topic that came up was, like, these things, especially in the Vietnam and the Korea examples, it was in both instances, the U.S. government was supporting not great leaders in, you know, South Korea and in South Vietnam. They were basically military dictators. But our book even said it at one point. At least they weren't communist. And I had to explain to the students that, like, that kind of was our government's point of view for quite a bit through the Cold War. It had to go back with the Truman Doctrine and trying to contain communism. Like, our government did not like communism, didn't think it should be around, but it was also realistic that they had to admit they didn't have the troops, the equipment, the money to go and invade every communist country and eliminate communism. So the plan was, we'll just, you know, put a lid on it. You know, if you want to be communist, you can, but we're not going to let you spread that any other place. And so the consequences of that is a lot of death and destruction, a lot of these proxy wars all around the globe. And I was trying to explain, it's like, and this is why some, you know, people around the globe, when they react nowadays and say, like, they don't like the United States, they don't like America. And I said, that's honestly really hard to hear, because you and I are like, what did we do? What do you don't like us? And I had to clarify, it's like, it's not that they don't like us. I'm sure we would get along just fine. They're probably just regular people trying to make a living and enjoy time with their family. It's just, they probably don't like our government's decisions. And so in their mind, they have to remember that. And one student was kind of like, whoa. And I think I said at some point, like, rightfully so. And I did have a student push back. I was like, well, why? And I had to explain. It's like, if your country went through a very hard time, whether it was just a few years or a few decades, whether that involved just bad economic growth or actual war, civil war type situations, and you knew you were in this situation and the government, the leadership that was in charge of you, a big reason they were in the position they were is because some other government was making sure they were supported, like, you would be upset at that government. And, you know, our government, through different administrations throughout the Cold War years, did that a lot. So it's just kind of a reminder that there is always that other perspective, and we should be aware of it. And that's kind of the whole point of studying history, is kind of getting multiple sides to a story to get a better idea of how things went down, to also give us a better chance of maybe doing better in the future. Whether we extrapolate that out to our personal lives and try to do better, you know, or I don't know, maybe someone's going to be in a leadership role, whether it be a business thing or in a political thing. And so, that was a good conversation to go throughout the week. On a down note, I guess, a little, I am struggling with some of this, I don't want to say office politics, but just, this is my first spring semester as, like, a department head, and being a part of, you know, the overall picture of how classes and sections and schedules look, and just the conversations that go on behind the scenes, I did find myself like devolving into a lesser me and getting involved in some gossip and other things like that. And I didn't like it. And I had to remind myself that maybe that's not where I need to be. I don't want to be that person. And I was reminded in a message I heard this week is that maybe that's the reminder I need. It's like that I don't know, that vibe, that energy that's not matching. Maybe it's because I'm not doing and saying what I should, and I should redirect. And I was thinking about that, and it's like, yeah, that was maybe some of the blah mood I found myself in from time to time. It was because I was not doing what I needed to do. I was not handling my words and actions in the way I needed to. And so it was a good redirect because, you know, this is stuff I have to do. I have to discuss these things and the schedules and who goes where and what happens. And, you know, and people are going to have their opinions on all of those things. But it's like, I don't have to devolve into the level of gossip. I don't have to do that, especially if that just like fogs my mind and makes me less aware and prepared to be on my toes with my classes, which, I mean, seriously, you got to be on your toes with them. They are wonderful creatures, these teenagers. And if you aren't ready to be nimble, be like a little dancer and just like, or a little like NFL running back, juking and twisting and turning all over the place just to keep things going in the right direction, then they'll eat your lunch. And I don't think they do it on purpose, our students, but it's just, they got that energy level, they got that inquisitiveness, and they want to see that matched. And some of them are really, you know, thoughtful and incisive, and you got to be ready, and you can't be letting some nonsense, especially nonsense that I'm causing myself because I'm not doing what I need to. I can't let that nonsense get in the way. And so I think that was a good redirect during this time. And also, it's just, yeah. Well, I was watching a show with my son, the Star Wars Bad Batch Season 2. And there was an episode where someone in the Empire is realizing that they, by just going along and doing things and not thinking about things, they're kind of doing evil. And I was reminded of the whole psychological term of the banality of evil. It's just this idea that I know in our comic books and everything else, we want to assume that evil comes because someone's twirling their evil mustache somewhere and making evil plans and to dominate the world or do bad things. But honestly, more often than not, it's this the idea of banality of evil. And if you've never heard that before, it's basically this idea that the ordinary people commit, like they cause problems, you know, maybe even commit atrocities without like knowing, without awareness, care, or choice. They're just doing what they're doing and they don't think about it. And I think we forget that. And there's a Russian author that talks about like good and evil runs through every person's heart. And we have to be aware of that, that we are capable of both. And in my own little way, because of a lack of awareness, I was doing that this week. I was maybe, hopefully not, causing problems. And how many times do we do that? And I know better because I see it in history books all the time. We just finished talking about World War II, and especially in Germany, where people are always like, well, how did they do this? And there's books on, like, these are just ordinary people who chose to participate in the lie, who chose to participate in the lie that what they were doing was good, even though there were signs that said, and like feelings that this isn't right. We see that in, you know, the Soviet Union when it got created, and it was perpetuated through the decades of the Cold War, and how nasty and horrible they were to their citizens. And why? It's because people believed in the lie. They chose not to think about what they were participating in, and so they told themselves they weren't doing anything wrong, as it was someone else. But like by giving power to those people in charge, you're participating. You're being a part of it, as it says in that psychology, banality of evil psychology definition, you know, commit atrocities without awareness, care, or choice. And I think the biggest solution to that is just stop. Look around, think about what's happening, and be aware, and make a conscious choice to use your words and actions for, like, for good, for better. Some other deep thoughts from this week. I had a couple of moments this week that I wonder if my students get the bigger picture. A couple of activities. One that I do most weeks, and I've tried to add to it, but it's good things, and I encourage them while I take attendance, like once a week, to talk about good things that have happened in their week or coming up in the next week. Talk about that with their group while I take attendance. I usually have some things on the screen that I share with them, and they're nothing big. Sometimes it's like I'm excited for a big soccer game coming up, or I had a really good meal with friends or family, or I finished a good book, you know, or found a new show. It doesn't have anything to be big. But again, I was reminded in the message, I think too many times because of our TV shows and movies, we expect the good to be these massive things that maybe we kind of want them to sometimes because it's a massive thing that we can brag about to everyone else and look good. But I just don't think that's true. It's sure, there's big things that happen in life and there's big milestones that happen, but the good is like all around and it's the ordinary. I mean, the extraordinary is nice, but if I'm being honest, the extraordinary doesn't happen that often. Like, not often enough to fuel us to make it through our days. And I've always, well, I can't say always, that's so dumb. For a long time now, I feel like it's important to open your eyes to what's going on around you. And pay attention to the good sunsets, the good conversations you have. Because that, in small doses, will help you get through your days. And I wonder... if they know that. Like, I've been slightly trying to open their eyes to a new way of being that, and I put it up there. In the past, it just said good things, but this year I added like something like good things because life is good if you're willing to see it. And I think, I don't know, it's like, is that time of the year where I need to point that out a little bit more? Or would it just come across as cheesy? And another one is I do an anticipation guide, and we were doing an anticipation guide about the fall of the Soviet Union and all the things like glasnost and perestroika and these new policy changes that are bringing about, you know, some turmoil in the Soviet Union. But I still had some of them. That for those of you who don't know, an anticipation guide is they have like statements, and then they're supposed to be like true or false. And then we have them read, get information, and these statements are not word for word in the book. It's all about inference skills. But even beyond that, it's, they form an idea of, or an opinion about the statement based on little to nothing maybe. And then they read and based on what they read, they might want to change their answer and they give me a why. And then they talk with their group. And sometimes after talking with their group, they're kind of like, or after talking with a group, we, go over it as a whole class and like, how many of y'all said true? How many of y'all said false? And like, well, why did you say true? Why did you say false? And we talk about it. And sometimes they get into the like, no, which one is it, true or false? Or they're hesitant to change their answer. I just want to be right. And I have to tell them, like, again, the point of an anticipation guide is to have the conversation, to practice being open to learning new information, to practice being open to a new point of view. And not that you have to like reject the one you have, but maybe you do from time to time. Maybe you have an opinion on how things work. And then you hear some new information and you're like, oh, dang. I didn't see it that way. Yeah, that makes more sense. And move on. It doesn't have to be a big epiphany. It doesn't have to be a big problem. But I think we don't celebrate that enough. You know, you had an idea. You got new information. Now you can change your mind. You thought this person was doing the thing for this reason. And then you find out, well, that's not true. And then you move on. You think you should do something because it'll make someone feel better. And then you find out, like, it's not a big thing for them. Or actually, it kind of annoys them. And you're like, oh, you move on. Because that, more than anything, more than memorizing names and dates, I mean, seriously, that is what we need more of in the world. Just get some new information, listen, you know, an opinion, revise, opinion, revise, opinion, revise. I guess in more academic terms, this is Hegel's dialectic. You know, it's synthesis, and or thesis, antithesis, and then synthesis. That's what we're doing. And it's like I don't know if Hegel's view is like we're all moving towards the good and we're going to get this utopian better world. But I feel like I can be better because I take a thesis, I hear an antithesis to that, and then I create a synthesis. I get an opinion, I hear something else, new information, and then I revise, even if just slightly. Maybe the new information didn't really impact me that much, but it could help me fine-tune what I'm doing. And the thing is, we do it all the time. Like athletes or musicians, you get things figured out pretty good on how you're gonna play the music or how you're gonna do that drill. But then someone comes along and says, "Hey, have you thought about this?" And you just tweak it a bit, and you're like, "Oh, it's new interpretation." Or I saw my wife doing this with her students as they're directing their plays, and one of them came over as we were talking after school, and it was like trying to go how they're trying to figure out how to convey a change in time in the scene that they're directing, and it was just a case of, well, what about this? What about that? And they move on. And they figured out, and they both just kind of talked, and I was like, "Oh, that's a great idea. I hadn't thought about that." And we do that a lot. You know, you tweak your stance during that rep. You maybe change some markings on the music to make more sense, or change with my son with percussion. You change maybe which stick you hit with so you can make sure you're ready to go to the next one, but you didn't see it until someone pointed it out. But that, like, we do it all the time. But for some reason, when it comes to our actual intellectual life, we get a little lazy. And I think the anticipation guide, hopefully, and again, do I need to be more upfront about it? Or is it just going to come across as cheesy? Because that's the point. The point isn't to get it right. And some of them were freaking out about that, trying to get it right. What's the right answer? But it was like, that's not the big deal. I guess in the end, with these good things and these anticipation guides, I feel like Mr. Miyagi from Karate Kid, like the original one. Sorry, I know there was a remake. And I really like Jackie Chan. But I'm talking about like the original one. And how he was so frustrated because he just wanted to learn karate, and all he was doing was painting the fence and waxing the car and sanding the floor, and he was so sick and tired because he couldn't understand what this had to do with, you know, beating up the people who were messing with him at school. But then you have that scene, and you know what I'm talking about if you've seen the movie, that scene where he confronts Mr. Miyagi and is like basically like, "What the cuss, dude? You know, you've been out here making me work for you." And then he kind of goes through it, and it's that transitive property of math where, like, this thing you're doing over here can transfer to over there. And all of a sudden, it's like he had some basic karate moves down. He had some basic moves that he could build on, and he didn't even realize it. He thought he was just being messed with. And I wonder, sometimes, especially in this time of year, I need to do a better job of explaining that. Like, all these things we've been doing, it's not about the names and the dates. It's not about, I mean, sure, yes, it's about the reading skills, but it's also just about a mindset shift and hopefully helping them have a better way to approach the world, life, everything. And maybe I'm just getting nostalgic because this is, like, my favorite but also saddest time of the year. And this has come up a little bit recently. It's my favorite time of the year because they are so open now. Even in my first hour, this kind of came up and I explained it to them and they got a little like, "Aw." But then I had one that's like, "You know, you're right." We're at this time of year where they are way more open to talk with me and ask questions about the content or just questions about life in general and try to make connections with things. And they feel comfortable asking questions because they know I'm not going to like jump down their throat and gripe at them. And it's so fun. Just like, I love connections and I love conversations and having them be able to do that, whatever the conversation is or the question's about. I love this time of year because they are so open and willing, but that also makes it like the saddest time of year. And I explained this to a few people recently because they were kind of asking like, "You ready for summer?" And I was like, "No, not really." Because as they count down the days we have left, which is, I don't know, like low 30s, maybe upper 20s. And they are like excited, and I'm like, "No, I'm not." Like, why not? It's like, because this thing, especially, I was talking about this with my first hour, my sixth hour. It's like this thing that we've created, you know, these friendships, like some of those classes, I don't think they ever talked to each other until they came to my class. And I don't think they would have considered being friends with some of the people that they talk to and are friends with in my class, except for the opportunity to be there. And it's, to me, it's so beautiful. It's so cool to see people who are from different areas of school, different activities, different ideas, different, you know, backgrounds, cultures, and they're like buddies and hanging out. And it's, for me, I want to enjoy that because here in a few weeks, that's going away. That environment, this space that we have, is going to disappear. And in a darker moment sometimes, like this thing we've created is going to die. And I don't want it to go. I'll be prepared for it. I'll mourn it when it happens. But I'm not ready for it to go. Because, man, this is why we did all the work last semester. This is why we set things in place and we learned how to treat each other so that we can have these moments together in these last few weeks, month and a half of school. And so I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying the conversations. Might need to break out my music recommendation QR code because I've had some students in giving me some music recommendations, some Playboi Carti and Kendrick Lamar and Yeet. Yeah. Not sure about Playboi Carti and Yeet, but Kendrick Lamar, I kind of like that guy. And maybe I need some more songs from him that'll make a young man in first hour happy to know that, which he was working on another list of songs I need to work on and listen to. But, you know, just having that connection, having them share a little part of what brings them joy. And, yeah, it's been great. Like, rockiness, goofiness, struggles aside, like, it's been a great week, and I'm looking forward to just a few more before we get out of here, and I don't want it to go too fast. And I hope you have the same mindset, and if not, maybe consider revising your opinion now that you've got new information. And as always, have a day.